This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 61, I chat with Katie Dore from Club Katie. Katie and I spoke on this very podcast almost 3 years ago, in the beginning of 2022. For me, it was my fourth ever episode as a new host to the podcasting world, and it was her first ever podcast as a guest in her life. It's pretty clear if you go back and listen to it, the audio quality is pretty awful and we do seem a little nervous. Since then, Katie's growth as a person and in the running world has skyrocketed. She's been quite sought after, actually, in the podcasting world. Her group, Club Katie, has seen so many runners join the cult, and her influencing status, as shown by her probably 5,000 odd more followers since the last time we spoke on Instagram, is quite profound. What I believe lies below all of this so-called limelight, though, is a kind and quietly spoken Katie who is highly passionate about running and its impact on more so than herself, but the local community and building connections between like-minded people. I hope you enjoyed this special listen. It was fantastic to host Katie. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast again, Katie, for the second time and almost 3 years later since we last spoke on this podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, Ollie. Yeah, I think it's great to come back again. And yeah, we've got a lot to catch up on from last time. And obviously it was like COVID and I think we just had the 2022 floods last time. So there's a lot happening.
Yeah, I think we both listened back to our last episode briefly yesterday, and it was during that time of the floods and COVID had come back. And we also spoke off air too about just the audio quality back then, mainly from my end. And it was my fourth episode that you came on for, and it's got a lot of listens, Katie. I'm telling you, to this day, it's right up there in terms of listens. You've got a followership out there, I guess, with Club Katie. But yeah, it definitely set the scene for the podcast to continue in a very positive way. So I appreciate your time back then.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we see here on, it's a Wednesday, isn't it? The 8th of January. It's what's the time here? 1:45 on the clock. I'm on school holidays at the moment. This really allows for me to do this. But I believe for you, Katie, a lot of your work is morning and afternoon. So yeah, what brings you the opportunity to talk at this time of day?
Well, I literally just had a power nap between when you said are you still good? I'm like, yes. I put my eye mask on for 20 minutes and have a power nap because Wednesdays are actually my biggest day of the week in terms of how spread out it is. So I'm actually up at 3:45 a.m. to start the Tenerife Athletic Club Run Club at 4:30 a.m. So I bought this in as an extra sort of offering for, especially in the winter, for people to do a midweek longie and feel a bit safer running in the dark. So I was up at 3:45 this morning to start at 4:30. The main group starts at 5 a.m. And then I then have to back up tonight for the Fallons Run Club, which is a more recent run club that started or in July last year, the Wednesday nights, and we've just introduced a Saturday. So yeah, there's so many run clubs that I host each week now, but I do love it. And yeah, power naps are how I get through.
Yeah, we spoke about the napping last time, that this talent that you have to, I could never do that, just sit, kick back and nap and guarantee a nap, I guess, within 20 minutes. But something I think that you probably need if you're up at, in the three somethings of the morning here in Brisbane anyway. But I saw last week too on Strava, you'd hit about 94K total mileage, but you did mention off air that you were part of a pretty unique event now. And that was New Year's Eve as part of that mileage, the Glasshouse Standing Backyard Ultra. I know you've done a few of these, the backyard ultras. So I'd love to hear from you about it. 5 p.m. start on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, how was your experience there? 5 hours 45. So it took you pretty close to the new year.
Yes, yeah, it's such a great event. And I think when we last did a podcast was right before I did my first backyard ultra, or had I
Yes.
done one right before
The Dead Cow Gully.
yeah. So yeah, that was my introduction. And yeah, that's yeah, still my favorite backyard ultra. But yeah, Glasshouse Standing actually started last year and I did the inaugural event. So Run Queensland host it, and they're just an awesome crew of yeah, good humans. They also are behind Blackall 100, which is a very successful ultra marathon in on the Sunshine Coast that a lot of people come from far and wide for. And yeah, they actually put it on to try and halt the quarry expansion of the Glasshouse Mountains. So they're very passionate about it and they live in the area. So I always like getting around events that also have causes attached and then take along some of my crew for the ride. So that's the other thing I love as a running coach and being part of Club Katie, is that I can get other people to do crazy things with me. And yeah, this year we started at 5 p.m. and the idea is that you run into the new year. So I think what better way to see in the new year and say goodbye to the previous to like to run. So yeah, we do, as if anyone doesn't know what a backyard ultra is, it's 6.7 kilometer loops on the hour, every hour, last one standing. So you get some absolute freaks at some of these events, in particular Dead Cow Gully. They attract some of the world's best. And they can go for days. For me, it's like trying to achieve a distance PB, or trying to test out nutrition, or trying to help other people achieve their distance PB. So I had two newbies this year with me, Michael and Nikki, who I both coach. And yeah, they did so well. They got to their ultra distance for the first time ever. So they did 50 Ks. And this year was I found for myself mentally more challenging, because they switched to a night course after three loops. So from 8 p.m. we were on a out and back gravel road, which I found very challenging. And yeah, just had a few gut issues as well. It's such a challenge starting at 5 p.m. Like, I'm used to running in the morning, so all these
Yes,
things that,
100%.
as an ultra marathon, it's good to try these things, because yeah, when you're doing these long events, nutrition can be such a hard thing to get right.
Yeah, it's a good little segue actually into introducing what we're going to talk about on this episode, Katie. And that part of that's going to be the running boom that you've been, I guess, a part of, particularly here in Brisbane, just witnessing, observing that in the whole country. It's been crazy, hasn't it? And I guess the trail and the ultra stuff too is coupled in there with the road running. Track, I guess, not so much, but particularly road running, we're seeing all these fun runs sell out and that kind of thing. So I know you're passionate about people out there running, and obviously, I guess to a degree too, more the merrier, hey, especially if it's just this community social jogging, connecting people. And we when we spoke we messaged each other to organize the flow of this chat. We had a bit of trouble, didn't we, trying to order things, trying to fit things in. But for me, a lot of it came back to not necessarily you, but the people that you run with and you work with, and this whole group connotation that surrounds Katie Dawes. I thought that kind of sort of summarized you as a person, that you're often putting yourself out there for others. Looking forward to hearing about all these things in the next hour or so.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, definitely. It's what I love doing. So, yeah, for me, to have the opportunity to help bring people together. I always say, as a bit of joke, I'm pretty much the glue that brings good humans together. And to see the relationships that form, it's so much more than running. It's about, addressing that mental health issue that we've had, which continues to be such a big issue in Australia, especially with the lack of support that we're getting. So if we can help people realize their potential through running and connecting through running, I think we're on the right path.
Yeah, agreed. And before we get into any of that and Club Katie, let's just backtrack a bit to you as a person, Katie, and also personally away from running. I always find it interesting as a listener too to podcasts and athletes being on them about the athlete as a person away from any kind of running regimes in the week, talking about family, work, any interests outside of that. I know for you a lot of it is bided with the coaching and training and running, but what else is taking your time through the week, Addie?
Well, I have a 13-year-old now. So Chloe is in her teen years. She just had her first year of high school, which came with its challenges. But yeah, I absolutely love the woman that she's becoming. She's very independent, very kind-hearted, which I think is the most important thing. We actually had a conversation the other day about how she finds it interesting how some of her peers don't have the same values or don't treat people with respect the way that she has been taught to. And I have definitely noticed that with some of the demographics around the local running community, even like the younger demographics, just in terms of sharing the path and things like that. Like I'm very big on that because I run quite a big running club now, and I never want our image to be sort of portrayed in a way that we only think about ourselves. So, yeah, bringing up a teenager obviously has its challenges, and she's had a big year. So yeah, I share custody with her dad. So she does 2 weeks with me and 2 weeks with her dad, but we live around the corner, so it's super easy. Have great support from her grandparents, and then yeah, I other than that, yeah, it's obviously training. A lot and training with my partner Toby. So he's into ultra running. We actually met through Dead Cow Gully that year. And yeah, supporting him. So, he's preparing for some pretty big events this year. He's on the wait list for Cocodona 250, which is a 250-mile race in Arizona. So that will be like a 5-day crewing expedition, pacing him as well. So I'll probably do 100 Ks as part of that over the 5 days. And then other than that, yeah, like ensuring that I'm, staying in contact with family and friends. But yeah, a lot of my social outlet is running and hosting run clubs and what I love doing.
Yeah, it seems
Yeah.
like I'm turning that way these days too. A lot of my social connection is through running, and why not? I think times are changing a bit, particularly for those adults in the early 20s. Hey, it was very, very popular and common to be at the club or the bar, 15, 20 years ago. But I think for some of them, that's definitely changing. I think another way too for you to explain yourself as a person, Katie, is how you started, just how your day looks. I'm talking about, as in, like when you wake up through to the end of day. Obviously, you shared a few details earlier, but yeah, what about just timings of certain things? When the training and coaching stops in the morning, how are you feeling time in the middle of the day? We spoke about bedtime, I recall, 3 years ago, and you said you were trying to get to bed earlier then as well. How's the bedtime looking and the day in general, to summarize, Katie?
Yeah, I'm still working on the sleep. Yeah, as an example, last night I went to bed at 11, so I do need to try
Wow.
and restructure my work a bit better. So I have since we last spoke, I have taken on a lot more online run program clients. So that's just been part of the boom. There's so much demand for personalized online programs. So I have a lot of clients that are like FIFO or shift workers. So just being able to help them has been really rewarding. But that my day to do all the programs is Tuesdays, and I probably need to manage my time better and do more Mondays now because I'm getting so many more clients at this time of the year. I was up to 11 last night doing programs, so it's challenging. And yeah, so like pretty much like Monday, I'm pretty much work 7 days to be honest because I put on all these other events as well. But generally, I try and do most of my work Monday to Friday. So I did recently partner with Tenerife Athletic Club, which has made my life a lot easier, and it's been a great partnership with them. So when we last spoke, I was working out of Waterfront Park since the pandemic hit and we were kicked out of gyms. And that's when I fell in love with outdoor training and went down more the path of supporting runners and doing strength-based exercise for runners. I've since now partnered with a gym where I can outsource the strength side of things, just because I saw a need for my community that we probably need to be adapting a little bit more and lifting a bit heavier. And then that allows me to continue to grow doing what I love, which is run coaching, and then enlist a professional. So there's some really good strength and conditioning coaches at TAC. So I get to jump in and do those sessions now with them in the mornings. Sorry about that noise. Keeps beeping. And yeah, so every day starts early basically, but it's either me, I do coach as part of TAC now. So my Wednesday morning midweek long run and the Thursday morning speed and technique session are part of TAC. So any member that goes to TAC can come along to those sessions as well. And then all my online clients have access. And then people on th for Thursdays can pay casually if they like. So basically working in the mornings. I also have clients at TAC. So I have one-on-one PT clients still. And then there's all the online side of things. I'm normally trying to shuffle in social media posts in between to promote my run clubs. And I do actually enjoy the social media, so I don't like it is quite fun. It's my creative side, but it is a lot of like time management and when I'm going to post. And then fielding a lot of inquiries. Is run club on tonight? What do you think of this? Like, you just get messages all the time. But I do love my yeah, I do love helping people. Particularly new to the sport, getting into it and answering questions, because I host now 4 weekly run clubs, and they're all hungry for knowledge. Like these are a lot of them are new to running, and it's really cool to see the growth and see these events selling out now. So I'm basically just the person that a lot of people come to for help, and also just to help connect people. Not everyone's coming to sign up, like to get better at running to work towards a race, but a lot of them end up going that way. So it's just I'm pretty much between my apartment and Tenerife Athletic Club during the day, and then I'll do sometimes some one-on-one sessions down at the park for run coach run technique sessions, and then it's rushing out to host run clubs. So I do Fishbowl 5K club on a Monday night. I do Felons Run Club on a Wednesday night, and I do TAC Run Club in the morning. And then Thursdays is TAC Run Club, which is the speed and technique session. And then Saturday morning, Felons Run Club. And then I host a monthly social out on the trails at Mount Cutha. So yeah, there's pretty much like an opportunity to see me a lot if you want to.
I was wondering when you're talking, if you had an accountant too to do your, end of financial year return stuff, because there's just so much variation, both financially, but just in the roles that you have and the groups you're involved with. It must be crazy, but I'm sure you got some kind of organization around all of that, planning it, but also the finances too must be challenging at times.
Yeah, that's definitely challenging. There's another goal for the year is to really get on top of that and know where all my money is going and what's coming in and what creates value, because that's been the thing for me. Like having last year was a really good year for setting boundaries around what I'm doing and ensuring that my time is being spent in the right places, because you just get spread too thin. And I think we spoke about the app last time. Like that's been really challenging because apps are really hard to, get right, and we have sort of pivoted a bit. So our goal this year is to get it to be like a run directory, I guess, for people to be able to find a run club anywhere in the world they go, rather than it being access to programs, because I've learned myself as a coach, people would prefer to have a coach like privately. And it's, and there's also like other apps out there that are already doing that anyway. So yeah, there's so many avenues that running can take you, and there have been some great partnerships that have come on since I last spoke to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to that shortly, and more specifically about Club Katie. But before we get there, let's hear about you as an athlete, Katie, specifically. And yes, we of course spoke about this many years ago, but the things that come to mind from that conversation for me was this sort of body. You had some different phases, I guess, through the training, that bodybuilding phase of your life. Then you went into the triathlon, then back into probably more road running, hey? And then you, of late, it's been the ultras and the trail running, coupled with this kind of, I guess, facilitation and coaching of the jogging, just those community groups out there. But if we just go back even as early as through school quickly, just to think about any of those sort of influences that led you to create such a group like Club Katie, but also what led you potentially to getting into initially the bodybuilding side of things.
Yeah, so some people don't know, well, they probably pick up the accent a little bit, but I did grow up in New Zealand and moved to Australia when I was 19 on my own. So growing up, I was in a small beachside town. We didn't have a lot of access to sport. My mum and dad were always working. So I think a lot of my memories and childhood was sort of brought up around community. So I would get home from school and go to the neighbor's house and hang out there, and we'd go to the park, or we'd find something to keep us occupied, go and climb a tree. So I had a very basic upbringing, but it was very much community focused, where everyone helped everyone, everyone said hello to everyone. And so I think I draw a lot on that with what I do with Club Katie now. It's like that whole connection piece, and that being kind costs nothing. And so yeah, when I moved over here, I didn't really have any background in running. Like, I found running in my adulthood, so hopefully that inspires some people that it's never too late to start. And yeah, got into bodybuilding through meeting my husband at the time, because we both were sort of looking to lose a little bit of weight. And it's like the old school bodybuilding diet, the high protein, low carb. And I just got a PT at the gym to do me up a basic strength program. And I think because of my genetics, everything kind of like just changed really quickly. So before I knew it, they were showing me a poster for a local bodybuilding competition. And this is when I was 23 years old, so quite a long time ago now. And yeah, went down to the Gold Coast and did an all-female bodybuilding comp and won it. And then I was sort of hooked after that, I was blown away. So as part of that, I won a prize down to Melbourne to compete at a like a semi-international event, and then ended up winning my division at that. And if you look at the bodybuilding comps now, they're quite different to what they were back then, but it was really amazing to go through that process, and it did teach me a lot of discipline as well, and just the science of like what you can do with your body. But I did learn pretty quickly that it was quite an unbalanced sport as well, and the dieting and the binge eating, and I ended up with a binge eating disorder as part of that. In 2009, I switched across to triathlon, just through a 6-week beginners program. I wanted the social aspect as well, and I made lifelong friends through that. And I addressed my eating problems through that. So I went into a sports dietitian, Sally from Apple to Zucchini. So a lot of people in Brisbane know who she is. And yeah, she was great. So she deals with both sports nutrition but also eating disorders. And we know, especially females in sport, like, it's very common, more common than what you think. And so yeah, I was able to address it pretty quickly, which was great. And yeah, I think after having my daughter in 2011, it was, I sort of realized trying to run a business, having a bringing up a child, was quite tricky to do the discipline of triathlon and having to cover three different disciplines. So I always found that running was my strength. So through triathlon, I realized running was my sport, and that's how I switched over and started doing half marathons. And then before I knew it, I did my first marathon. And then when we'd spoken last, I had done some road marathons and some 50Ks, I think. And then that year, I went on to do Dead Car Gully, where I ended up doing 88Ks there, and 50Ks had been my previous PB. And then a few months later, went and got convinced by Drew the Garmin man to do a 100K event. And it was called Western Branch, and it was from the same organizers as Dead Car Gully. And I ended up doing pretty well. Like, I just went in with no expectations, and that's one thing I've learned from racing, is when you go in with relaxed and no expectations. I normally do, for me, perform the best. So I ended up doing 11 hours 45, my first 100K, and I was pretty happy with that. And then the bug was kind of like, well, how far can I go? So I've since then done a 100-mile race at Brisbane Trail Ultra. That was in 2023, and it was pretty horrific. That's what I love about milers, though, is that it's so hard to get it right. It's so hard to finish. A lot of people don't finish them. And I had gut issues from the starting. It was a midnight start. I saw two sunrises. I finished at Kangaroo Point on the Sunday morning after starting the Friday night at midnight. So it was like 34-hour slog, and my legs were swollen, and I was hallucinating by the end. But I was so determined to finish that thing. It was like 8,000 meters of elevation. Like, it's like Everest. So, I don't know, like, while you're doing it, you're like, I'm never doing this again. And then when you finish it and give yourself a bit of a break, there's something that changes within you, I think. And I've spoken about that in other podcasts, that I think it's a lot more about like going and healing yourself and figuring out things and building resilience. So that's why I love trying to get other people to sort of work their way up. And it's about instilling confidence in people that they don't have in themselves.
Yeah, there's something you can think of that has led you specifically into that ultra world though, Katie. Obviously, you just alluded to certain things there, but is it even a part of you too, like the road running, you know, as, and I'm in this park too, getting to an age now where it's getting very tough to get faster and faster on the roads. Is that a factor as well out there that this is just more of a duration survival kind of a concept, but so much you can get out of it as well, hey?
Definitely. Yeah. So I've been mixing it up with road events as well. And, you know, still get down and do Gold Coast. And I did Sydney Marathon last year and, you know, I got my PB. So I did 3:14:40 at Sydney with some silly gut issues again. So yeah, I was really happy with that. But yeah, with the ultras, the thing that keeps me going back and what got me into them was how far can I go and how much can I learn about myself, because it's very primal. That's what I love the most. I always, it's a bit cheesy, but I always take things to being primal. Like even on Monday nights when we're running together in a little group and we go back and have a meal together and that meal is a really nourishing meal, I say, this is just like we're in a tribe, like we're hunting and gathering and then we're eating together and we're sharing stories. And there's something, it's so simple, but it's so powerful for our communities, because it's giving people a place to come. And a lot of people, we don't know their full story, but a lot of people are lonely. So I think if we take it back to like tribes, that's how they worked. And everyone kind of was there for themselves and for others.
Yeah, I think it also shows too, like the measurable nature of it's very different to a road race. Hey, you run a 10K, it's very easy to track and measure and set a goal for an exact time that you want. But it's different out there on the, you know, different conditions, elevation and environmental conditions and factors that can play a part of that.
Yeah.
Just lastly on that, I'd love to touch on your road PBs, so to speak. You know, we're talking about the 5K, 10K, half and marathon. And I'll take back my apologies, what I said earlier about you peaking earlier, because if that marathon PB is in there of late, then that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you run us through those, just to set some context around that, even though I know now a lot of your work is within the wider community group scene.
Yes. Yeah. So I did my 5K PB, I think back in 2020 or 2021. That was 18:57 at Menippi Park Run. I'd like to get back to doing some of that speedier stuff again. It's just hard to fit all in it. And to be honest, it has, my running speed work has taken a backseat since focusing on all the run clubs. I'm just trying to build some to be back into those run clubs now, because I just run easy all the time and try and get around people. And then, yeah, my 10K, which is a bit sad, I still haven't broken 40. And that's just probably a little thing in my head. Like I just don't do a lot of 10K events. I either do like a 5K park run or one of the run clubs, or I do half marathons and more. So yeah, definitely should probably work on that this year as well. And then, yeah, so I think it's 40 minutes and 9 seconds. It's my 10K PB. And then half marathon was at the, is it the Great South Race that used to be on?
Yeah, that's finished now. There was a couple different events, but this is one pretty much on the south side near, I'm trying to think of the suburb of that. But I do know the event you're talking about. Yeah, along a main or major road, rather, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, and it's pretty flat. So I did that in 20, I think it was during the pandemic. I think we went into a lockdown straight after the event. So we're lucky to actually even get it done. And that was 2021. And I did an hour 26, I think it was. That was my PB for half marathon. So yeah, as a comparison, at Gold Coast last July, I did an hour 29 and I was pretty happy with that. So yeah, it's like when you go back to road running, you realize how hard it is again.
Yeah,
like
it's
just
brutal,
so hard
isn't
on
it?
The body, and just redlining the whole time. When you're at an ultra, you're having chats with people,
yeah.
Like conserving your energy. And then yeah, my marathon PB is 3:14:40 at Sydney last year. So I kind of thought this year I should go for a sub 3 at Gold Coast, but then I've now gone and signed up for Dead Cow Gully. So again, it's that battle of like, do I do an ultra or do I do a road one? So I'm trying to, I'm a bit hybrid at the moment. And I'm also doing a Hyrox in Brisbane coming up, which I don't know what I've got myself in for, but it's just for a bit of fun with a partner.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's get on to our Club Katie, hey, because I think there's a lot to talk about in that. You've spoken about a few things, but even about just the founding date of that and how it all started from the beginning And you mentioned a couple of those sort of collaborations out there, those extra little groups that are coming off the Club Katie brand, because every time I scroll through Instagram, it's a bit of a maze for me to work out who those groups are, who you're running with and working with, and how it all works. Is it free running? Is it pay for running? How the online coaching fits in there as well. But if we track back to the start, that's probably the easiest spot to start with, I guess.
So as I was saying earlier, I started working out of Waterfront Park at Newstead when the pandemic hit, and everyone had to close their doors. So at that time, there were PTs galore in the park because Newstead's probably has I think the highest concentration of gyms in like the Southern Hemisphere or something. So once the gyms reopened, they all left the park and I stayed because I just loved watching the sunrise and I saw the benefits that it was providing my clients. So I started building the business there and building groups, and as all the restrictions were eased, it got easier as well. So I was able to build quite a good business down there. And again, it was just about bringing people together and connecting. And helping people, get stronger and fitter. And then that led into me sort of thinking, well, I'd really love to start a local run club, walk run club that kind of removes all barrier to entry. So take away the intimidation factor, which is why I called it walk run club. There's no cost to come. You just turn up, you can bring your dog, whatever. And I made it time-based so that there's no pressures on how fast or how slow you go because we all start and finish at the same time. So you just turn back at 22 and a half minutes. It's really simple. And that started with 12 people in September 2021. And now, 3 years later, we're getting over 60 people that rock up, and a lot of them are the same people. So that's my baby. And it's a really beautiful group. It's very diverse. There's people in their 60s that have run all their life, and then there's people in their late teens that are just getting into running and have no idea. And it's so nice because it's not just me that they're getting information from, they're getting information off other people. And I love all the intergenerational relationships that are formed, and there's just a real mix of people. And I think the biggest thing for me is like the culture that I have set has stayed the same, and that's part of my briefing every week. And that is like we're an inclusive community. You can walk, you can run, you can sprint. It doesn't matter what pace you go. It's all about just connecting. And so we do get a lot of guys that come along each week and push each other and do a tempo set, or they'll try and go for a 10K PB. So there's something kind of for everyone. And we always go for coffee at Woolshed afterwards. And the vibes on Friday are pretty cool. So they're talking about, club culture dying and cafe culture is like the new thing. I'd love to get a DJ in at Woolshed one day and have a DJ set. So it's happening overseas. We've got to bring it to Brisbane. And then, from there, sort of some other run clubs popped up. So Fishbowl came about first. So I think we've done that for 2 years now. That came about with my ambassadorship with Lululemon. So at the launch, it's a way to launch Movember each year, and more than a run, they do World Mental Health Day run. And Fishbowl asked me, well, they actually put it out on social media, all the locations that they were doing the run at, and I noticed that they hadn't put one out for Newstead because Newstead was fairly new. So I just reached out to them and said I'd be happy to host the Brisbane event, and that's how we started the regular run club. They asked me if I'd like to continue, and I think we became like the busiest run club out of all the Fishbowl run clubs quite quickly. And again, it was just building a nice little community. A lot of people that just come through to get their groceries from Woolies see the signs or see us all there, and it just started growing from there. And everyone gets a discounted bowl, so it's a really nice way to spend a Monday night. And like I just use it as like a recovery run, but some people will come walk even, or some people might want to use it for a bit of speed work too. So it's really nice that people can connect that way, and it can be whatever they want it to be. And then with the Wednesday Felons, Jimmy Gold, who I'm friends with, I met him in the middle of my first ultra marathon back in 2017, the Coastal High 50. He is the venue manager at Felons, and he just reached out to me last year and said, hey, we're thinking about starting a weekly run club. We've got this Felons lifestyle club that we want to start, and do you want to come in and have a meeting and talk about it? So I went in, and the rest is history. We started the week after Gold Coast Marathon, so like in July, and the numbers just boomed straight away. It was crazy. Maybe something to do with it. You get a free beer or free kombucha afterwards, but maybe. But their marketing is also awesome. It's so good. Like it was a real eye-opener for me on the power of when brands work together to help each other. It's not just me having to do everything myself. So, they have collaboration posts. I'll come and do a photo shoot with our photographer. Just recently, I went and did a interview with the Village Voice, to do stories to get the word out there. And if you go to Fallon's, you'll see the signs everywhere around Club. So their marketing is great, but also they are just really good at what they do. So we've had close to 200 people at some of the events. It's insane. And then we just recently, before Christmas, brought on the Saturday Run Club because they've launched like a pop-up breakfast. So they've just got such a great space there. I think they're just trying to grow, and they have their bear yoga that they do every week. And you'll probably see other events that'll pop up as well.
Yes, if I turn up to say a Club KE session as a runner, what would that look like from my arrival through to the finish of the run? Like, I think of even when I had my group back in the day, and how that sort of that arrival, sort of 5, 10 minute bit of a chat, and then that communication about what the session's going to look like, and if there's coffee after and that kind of thing. Yeah, just from start to finish, how would that look like if someone were to start, say, running with you this week or next week?
Well, as soon as you turn up, if you're new, people normally notice, like Friday mornings especially, like Club Katie, we all hug. So that's one of the things I'm most proud of, is that if it's not me that notices the new person, someone else will, because it's pretty obvious when someone's new, they're sort of standing there and their body language, they're a bit nervous. There's other people that will just come in and be like, "Hey, I'm new. I've messaged you on Instagram," or like a lot of them reach out first, or there's a sign up form online as well. And so yeah, it's really important to me that they feel welcome straight away, and that's why I find it's really important at each run club that I have my megaphone, that I can get the word out there. When I don't use a megaphone, no one knows what's going on, they can't hear me, and often people are talking while you're talking. It's just part of the excitement of everything. So I've found my megaphone has been so valuable, especially for like the safety side of things too. Fallon's is such a big group, so just getting the word out there. It's really cool to see that people do actually respect that, and most people will do the right thing. And yeah, so it's just like, if you when once you rock up, have a quick chat, how did you find out about it? And then a lot of the time it's people bringing their friends along as well, so often they have a little buddy and they'll be introduced. But the thing is, most people come back, and the thing, that's what I love, is like I quite often notice they'll come back the next week on their own, like their friend couldn't make it and they feel comfortable to come on their own. So yeah, I'm really big on creating a community rather than a clique, because you will see that in some run clubs where cliques form, and it's natural sometimes. But if you, as the run leader, really reiterate every week, "We are a community, we look out for each other, it's inclusive," it just creates that vibe.
Perfect. I had an interesting question for you, Katie. And many years ago, before this time of Club Katie and the founding of the club, there was a different time of life for you, wasn't it? And if we talk about fame in a way, and for you and I, you've got 9 times the following I have on Instagram, for example, 9,000, I think, followers to my 1,000 or so. You're exposed there online to 9,000 people. Then you're exposed to hundreds, within in person, that is, with the training. How have you sort of dealt with that limelight? Because you can think of a lot of jobs out there in this world we live in where people might interact with only a handful of people, but there's so many there for you. How has it honestly, like, with just thinking about your natural personality too, and with the start of it, and also now as well?
I think, yeah, it's interesting. Like it's funny, like I'll get messages from people who are like, "You're everywhere." Like they'll take photos of, signs at Fallon's that say "Run Club with Katie Dall," and people see photos of me and send them to me. And yeah, I think I love doing what I'm doing, and I think like everything that's happened has come very organically. So it's not without hard work, and I think some people don't understand like how long I've been around for and how much of my time I've given away for free. And so I think that all comes back around to building my reputation, my brand, and also having the background, like knowledge and the expertise in as a running coach, which a lot of the other run clubs don't have. So yeah, I think it does get hard sometimes, but I am extroverted, especially when it comes to doing things that I love. So I have had to kind of I have come to realize that one of the reasons I love trail running is because I can go out on the trails on the weekend, and all of the time I do just want to go on my own, because that's my time. And I had a bit of a realization at Dead Cow Gully last year, where I went a lot longer than what I was expecting to, and ended up doing 120 Ks, was because I found this solitude out there that I didn't realize I needed because I had so much going on back in the bubble. And that's why a lot of people need to go on holidays and things. For me, I just need to ensure that I'm balancing out my energy with some time on my own, because I used to run on my own a lot as well. And now I tend to just run with people all the time because I'm hosting run clubs, and that's sort of part of my training now, I guess. So yeah, it's been a bit of a change in terms of being around people all the time. And there are some times when I'm walking to a run club and I'm like, okay, it's gonna like do this. Like some days you wake up and you're like, I don't feel like being around people today. But at the end of the day, I think gratitude is the biggest thing for me, and being grateful that I'm in this position, because a lot of people have it a lot worse, and I get to be around like really good humans. And that blows my mind that we continue to attract so many lovely, lovely people each time. And yeah, so I'm pretty lucky, and overall it is good. I do thrive off it. Like my partner Toby, he's so supportive of me with everything, but he can only come to the select run clubs. He can't come to them all because he's quite introverted naturally, and I totally understand that. And he always supports me when he knows the events that he needs to be at, and when he wants to come along, he comes along. But yeah, it's quite interesting, like everyone's different, and I seem to be that people person. But yeah, at the same time, I do understand we need our own time as well.
Yes, yeah, well, it seems like you got under, you know, pretty good control there. But if you were to think of one thing out of all of it, you know, being in front of the group at a session, or Instagram and what people might think and opinion, or the photo shoots you do, or sitting right here in front of me on a podcast, which one out of those for you, you know, is the most, I guess, anxiety inducing, if anything, in terms of your week to week life as Club Katie coach?
I think the biggest thing is to realize what people think of you is nothing to do with you, it's to do with them. And that's been a big learning. Like I block it out now, because if I let every person, if I write about what everyone thought of me or things that I've heard, of like I would not be a happy person. So like I think it's just wasted energy. So you know, just I'm just staying in my lane. And I think, as I say to a lot of my clients and a lot of people, like dealing with competition, because there's so much competition in this area, is comparison is the thief of joy. And if you focus on what you love doing and what your passions are and just stay in your lane, you'll grow. Like you'll grow. So I think one of the tips I got from Geordie Sullivan from TrainAid was like, go and unfollow all those people that don't make you feel good about yourself. Or you know, if you feel like you're always comparing, like it's just not a good feeling. And I understand that it would be a lot, there'd be a lot of it everywhere. It's in every industry, right? And it's part of business. But the biggest thing for me is like, not, I think being in my 40s now, you just learn to not give a F about what other people think. Like it's honestly my best years, because I'm just focusing on my growth. I'm focusing on the people around me that are genuine, that do care. And you start, when you do that, you start attracting the right people as well. If people don't like me, they don't have to hang out with me, they don't have to come to my run club. And I think the other thing that I said recently at an event was, there's room for everyone, there's enough room for us all. We all have different demographics, we all have different strengths. And in Brisbane, it's a pretty big city, we don't have to fight over people.
Yeah. Well, let's look ahead to this year. I was about to say next year, but it's the 8th of 2025. What's on the schedule for you? We spoke about a few things off air, and that's with your group and individual sort of ambitions out there, Katie. But also you mentioned too this female run safety aspect too, which you've certainly been passionate about in the last few years with the group. And I even think of females now at the moment in running, in the running boom, there's certainly more out there, but it's still a few barriers, isn't there, to women running. It's not always safety, but safety is, you know, can be quite a large one for depending on the female and in general, isn't it? But what are those barriers out there, and what are the safety aspects that you've been thinking of, or have any kind of plans for this year?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I used to do a lot of my early morning training when my daughter was really young in the dark. And that was when I first started thinking I should safeguard myself in some way when I'm running on my own. And so I looked online and there wasn't really much on the market. I bought some dodgy thing off Amazon. But the idea of the device and what it's based on, I would love to make. That's one of my goals. And so it's just a wearable device that clips onto your waistband. So all you have to do is someone attacks you is to activate it, rip it off your shorts, or rip it off whatever's attached, because It's you just need something that's really easy to activate and that sounds a really loud alarm. So that was the first sort of experience I had with like being kind of passionate about safety and what can we do? Because I used to jump up my own shadow when I'd be running, like my shadow would come up behind me and I'd think there's someone right there. And then fast forward to last year, Mount Cutha attacks. So I think the first one happened and another incident. And then the third one that happened, I actually became friends with the victim and learned a lot through that process. And it was really crazy the way it happened. And it honestly made me realize like the universe is pushing me to do something because I need to be the advocate for it because no one else is doing enough at this stage. And I ended up on the Channel 9 news talking about it because I'm someone that runs out there on my own a lot and also send clients out there telling them that it's safe. And all of a sudden we feel like that's been ripped from us. So through that process, a couple of mates as well, Geordie Sullivan and Ben Kelleher from the Mill Brisbane gym, who are ex-army combat, they jumped into action straight away and said, "Katie, we need to do something. Let's organize some self-defense courses." And it was great having some men in our community that really wanted to do something. And we filled like within a space of 2 weeks, we had two classes of 60 women in each class. It was so awesome having like a room full of women being taught basic self-defense, but also like behaviors and how to not be a victim, like how to reduce the risk. So just little things that we don't even think about. And so that was just like scratching the surface because I had so many messages from women being like, "Are you bringing this to the Gold Coast? Like, there's so many women out there." And then you can go as far as like DV as well, women that you could empower through showing them some basic moves. And so the plan is this year is to continue advocating and maybe create a safety campaign. I am a Lululemon ambassador and I'm hoping that they will sort of a big brand will get behind it. The goal would be to roll out self-defense courses nationwide, maybe through the Lululemon stores. Do some work with our app as well, where we're helping connect women, connect groups, find a running buddy, just safety in numbers, because that was one of the big things that the guys at the self-defense course taught us was, when you go out to the trails, like, and you're in a group, if you get to a junction, the first person turns back and runs to the back of the group, and it keeps everyone safe, and just little things like that. But also just bringing people together. So a lot of those women that came along, they might have then connected through some groups, and because there were other like aspects of it where they said there's times of the day where you should avoid certain areas, and they actually said West End is probably somewhere that you should avoid most of the time as a female now because level of homelessness and mental health issues. And if you're a tourist that comes to Brisbane and you don't know that, so there's definitely a lot that can be done through technology, I think, and through apps. So I'm excited to kind of go down that path this year and further help that side of things. I'm really passionate about men's mental health. So I do work for Movember. I do work for Women's Legal Service, which is supporting women and children affected by domestic violence through like a helpline. So there's a lot, I think it all ties in. And I hope that, I know you're a school teacher. I hope that things can be filtered down into schools and teaching kids what's right and what's not right and how to protect each other and how to identify a behavior at home that's not right, because a lot of the dangers are actually in people's homes as well. And that's why I just want to keep doing work on that, because there's some really great organizations out there that are doing work that the government aren't doing at the moment.
Yeah, so like it's so easy, isn't it, as a male to be biased towards this, like not being a huge issue. You know, for me, I can run from home individually, solo, out there in the dark at all sorts of hours. I can go traveling to any place in Australia. I never really think about it. I know even if a female listener was hearing that right now, that might not even sit well with them listening to that. But
No, but it's very cool.
I know it's out there. I know it's happening. And but how when you talk to female friends, like how to what level are they going to, like making certain routes on looking at Strava, what time of day, what am I wearing, even these
Yes.
things that
Body language.
that men wouldn't think about. And again, you know, the demographics, particularly you and I are around, you know, the people we know of would never do these things. But yeah, what about the women out there who are terrified? What are they sort of going through?
It's been an eye opener. I met with the victim, and you know, I've had coffee with her since, and she actually came to the self-defense course, and she was so brave. She actually was interviewed by the news crew. They blurred out her face just to protect her. But at the end of the self-defense course, when we were all you know, asking questions and chatting, she actually like stood up and said, "I was the victim, and I just wanted to say how safe I felt today and how amazing that was to do that." And she was very grateful for being able to do that. And she was just out on a lunch break, lives in Baden. The other disturbing thing for me is that there were no signs put up to warn other people of what had already happened, and there was nothing in the community that was had been shared by the police or anything. So if she had known about it, she probably wouldn't have gone out with her AirPods. She had her AirPods in, and so these predators will be targeting women that look vulnerable, that have AirPods in. And that's what we were also taught. Like, there's certain things that you shouldn't do when you get out of a car. You should not be looking at your phone, you know, situational awareness. And yeah, like, women are absolutely terrified. Like, I was terrified afterwards, because like, just going out on the trails, like, and like doing races like Brisbane Trail Ultra, that was on shortly after the attacks, and there were women reaching out to me saying, "I don't feel safe being out in the dark now, because these events are run during nighttime hours." So Shona was really good and allowed people to go on pace for free, and you know, to protect these women. But yeah, I think there's a lot more that can be done just to, well, this is where the device would come in. I think, like, you know, my vision would be like, when you go into a Lululemon store, or you know, whenever you're like going out and starting your running journey, whether it's a running store, online, whatever, that you buy that equipment, that safety equipment, and it would be a wearable clip-on device that is actually attached to the app. So when you rip that device off your shorts, that it'll sound a very loud alarm and a strobe light to hopefully deter the attacker, but also then it'll alert your emergency contact, because I know there's a lot of men out there that aren't letting their wives go out running on their own now. Like, they are terrified as well. And then that means that if you're the emergency contact, you're going to straight away try and call the person, and if they're not answering, you're able to send the police straight there and go straight to that location. And then going a step further, which is in Samantha Murphy's case, who in Ballarat, she was on her morning, the weekly 20K loop run, and was abducted, and they still haven't found her body. 22-year-old's been charged with her murder. And if she had been wearing a AirTag device, they would have been able to find her body. So it's at least closure for the family, but also, could you get there before that happens, you know? So it's sad that we have to think of these things, but I think there is definitely a lot of a lot we can do in this space just to empower women to be able to go out and do what we love doing, because we shouldn't have to wear the burden, but we do. And through this process, the amount of online trolls that are saying, "What are you doing running on your own?" Like victim blaming, basically. And it's really like horrible. But through that process as well, it's been really like, it's been really nice to see the men that have come forward and said, "How can we help?" And also educating, like, what can you do if you're running behind a woman? Like, how can you make them feel safer? Because there have been times where I've been running around Newstead House, and there's a guy walking along with a hood on, looking really dodgy. And people are like, "Oh yeah, he's probably just harmless." But I'm like, "Yeah, but that's not making me feel comfortable. Like, that's scary. So maybe just remove the hood." And yeah, just things like that. Like, just give women space, you know, like, yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think it's just scary with the amount of mental health issues that are out there right now.
Yeah, it is. I was even thinking about running around my areas, and sometimes women sort of run past you with their head down. And I've listened to a few podcasts and read a bit about this, Katie. And I always, one thing for me is just saying g'day or a wave, you
Yes,
know.
yeah.
And particularly, like you
Very cool.
said, just thinking about the way that you're seen and perceived as you pass the lady or anyone, really. It's
Yeah, it's body language,
just to
right?
say g'day, and that can be in a big city to a degree in Brisbane. Some people don't do that. And if you're saying hello to everybody along the Brisbane River, for example, that's maybe a little bit different too, isn't it? It's not like you're a very
Yeah,
populated area that with lots of runners. But if you're out in those areas where it's dark, and that's where I think you've got to think about it. But it's probably a good segue too into, if we flip this whole thing, Katie, to the positives, because group running has certainly helped the running boom, hasn't it? And especially for women to feel safe in numbers. But you probably put back to the last year, I think, you know, 2024 was a massive year for running. We can look at things like the shoes again, all these groups out there, running, the presumption, I guess, of how it's perceived, so to speak, running. It's a little bit more kip or cool and that kind of thing as to what it used to be. What things can you sort of think of, and how's your experience been from a like a Brisbane standpoint, being a figurehead in some kind of way, I guess, in your areas?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like it seems like at one point every man and their dog was starting a run club. You see a couple of uni students that all of a sudden they just go for a run together and they're like, let's start a run club. And they didn't seem to it just seemed to be like everybody had a run club. And I think that has kind of fizzled out a bit now. But yeah, it depends on the reasons that you're starting a run club for. Like I think it was just kind of the cool thing to do at the time, and you could leverage off TikTok. So a lot of the younger ones were doing funny TikToks, and then all of a sudden they're getting hundreds of people turning up to their run club. And then there's also like the money behind it. So the influencers are then cashing in because these shoe brands are like, oh, we can and come to your run club and do shoe testing. And it was just like it got really insane at one point. And I think that has kind of died off a little bit. And the ones that are doing it for the right reasons are still here. And then yeah, I think it's been really cool to see, yeah, the trend help people get into running, but then help them realize that it's more than a trend and that it's primal and it's really good for you to do. And you can meet some pretty cool people in the process. And I think it's instilling confidence in people because they're achieving things that they didn't think was were possible. And yeah, I think I said to you in a message, I think this year it may boom even more in terms of people doing half marathons, marathons, even ultra marathons. The thing as a coach, I'm always trying to educate people on is don't feel like you have to jump to a 100K. Like, let's just start small because I don't want people getting injured and not being able to run at all, because that was the other thing about the isolation side of things. Like Club Katie, I always encourage people when they're injured, still come along, have coffee, come for a walk, don't isolate yourself because that's just the worst thing for your mental health. So yeah, I think it'll continue to grow. And I think well, based on what I've experienced in the last week, I think I've had about 8 new inquiries for online programs. Like, it's just gone bonkers. And people want, I guess they want to do things properly. I think people are putting more value on their health, their mental health. People aren't, I think, like, sales are down in like retail because I think people just generally want better experiences. They want to do things that are out of their comfort zone. Like, I think we've learned a lot from COVID, and I think we'll continue to see people choosing to do things that are better and more wholesome. And that's why you're seeing the club culture die, and that running is kind of becoming the boom because people don't want to go out late anymore. A, they don't feel safe, and B, they don't want to get home late because they've got to get up and go for their run. And like, because they've got that's their social outlet now, which is so cool. But I would like to see us crossing over this year, like, so being able to support local artists, you know, let's do a run during the day and then go and watch a local band. Like, I think we can help each other in that way. And I did host a run club for Big Sound last year, which was pretty cool, pretty unique. So Big Sound is like the biggest music festival and conference in the world, and oh, sorry, in the Southern Hemisphere. And it attracts people from all over the world, and they talk about the future of music, and they have like artists as part of that. So I think Khalees was like the keynote speaker. And so they actually, because two people on the Q Music board were runners, they reached out and said we should do a run club as part of Q Music Week. And I got to meet like artists from all around Australia, and a guy from San Fran who works for Spotify. And like, I was like, this is really cool. Like, we need to do more of this where we think outside the box about how we can help people. And that's how all these local run clubs, where I partner with brands and even brands now, have come about. And it's for me, I'm only working with genuine brands. I'm not the influencer that's just taking any kind of product and promoting. Like, you won't see that on my Instagram because that's not who I am. And people see through that straight away. If you're doing what's genuine to you, like for me, like my Shox partnership was just something that came along organically. And it's a big brand being able to help me as like a sole business owner. And we both get to win out of it. So I get to give away a set of headphones every month to the MVP. And there's other brands that have come on board, and they're all at different levels, can help in different ways, because I understand some brands, they don't have that capital either. So that's been a really cool thing for me, is like slowly chipping away and showing the value of Club Katie, because everyone that comes to Club Katie is like, okay, well, Katie is the trusted source. We're not gonna like whatever she's using, it's like for a good reason, sort of thing. So I love that I can promote local brands, and I've always been big on supporting local.
Yeah, it's very different these days, isn't it, with the group training? Like we look prior to even 2010. 2011 was when you had your daughter, but there was only groups like InTraining I can think of, Pat Carroll, running group around. And it
Yeah.
was often it was paid training too. I was out there paid training 2014. We founded nowhere near as big as a group like Pat Carroll and my group, but I was privy to seeing the groups back then, and it was probably by even 2015, maybe 10 groups I can think of that were around the Brisbane areas. And now there's so many, but there's something truly special, isn't there, Katie, about the group environment. And for me, like I did a lot of individual running before being a coach of a group, and even being the coach of a group, I never truly understood what it could offer. All those connections that you grow. I joined a group at, of a BERT in Brisbane too. And again, for the first time being a part of a group for me, it was just amazing to get to know people. And talking's different. You're running side by side. It's not for some people, the intimidation of face-to-face kind of conversation. And then now I'm privy to a great group too, the Bush Turkey Track Club in
Yeah, it looks like it's
Sandgate
going
as
well.
well, with so many things in common with these people. Guys in their 30s, 40s with young kids like myself, and resonating in so many ways with them. So what can the group training really offer for people out there? Is it, we need some solo time, of course, in life and running, but what about the group environment?
Yeah, I think it's just like it's that whole mental health piece, and just sometimes people just need a bit of a break away from their family. So I think, and for men in particular, like having somewhere they can go and relate, have chats with other people that's not just about the kids, or like you can have a wide range of discussions, or just talk about your running journey and get ideas of other people. So it's really cool to see like the improvements, and just the change in people's confidence is the biggest thing too. Like, they're all of a sudden, oh my God, I did my 5K PB tonight, and I'm like, that's amazing. And you can see like how much it means to them, and it then that just flows on into their life, and then they inspire their friends and their family because they're like, wow, you've come so far. So an example was today I got a message from one of the guys in our community who's moved up here from Sydney, and he said he was so anxious about moving up here because he was leaving his running community in Sydney, and he got a message this morning from someone in Sydney that sees all his socials, and he says, I want to move to Brisbane because that Club Katie community looks like so good, like you're the happiest I've seen you. And he just said, I am honestly so grateful for the community up here, like it's been the best thing, because you're accepted for who you are. Like, for me, it's like providing that sense of belonging, like you don't have to come along and pretend to be anyone else. And then that feeds into all the events. Like, I think this year is like just building on, going to events together. And like just that camaraderie, like when you're out there, doesn't matter who you are, like we've got people of all different backgrounds and demographics. They'll get a high five out on course, or someone will say, you go, like you're doing well. And it's just like that, just those words of encouragement can mean so much to someone and can make all the difference in their life, because often like people don't believe in themselves, but other people will be like, yeah, you can do this. You've got this. And so it could be at one of the 5K run clubs, or it could be doing your first half marathon or marathon. Like last year, I saw so many people when they came to me with their goals, it was to do a half marathon or a 10K. They went on and did Sydney Marathon. And like, I'm like, see, you didn't know that you had that in you, but other people, they egged you on to do it. So I think that's like the really special part of it. And then it's also the connections, job opportunities, friendships, just people helping people, because people are going through it. Like last year, I think financially for a lot of people was really tough, and to have somewhere where you can come and it doesn't cost you any money, like I think that's really amazing, and people value that. And then also just we're at that age where people are going through health issues and parents are, might be passing away, and just being that support network for those people, because they don't always have other people to talk to, or they might be having issues and with their family, like it brings out the worst in people sometimes. So I think being able to like turn up and go for a run, and either to talk about it or either just, I don't want to talk about it. Like that's the other thing. Like some people want to come and talk about their feelings, and being shoulder to shoulder is very powerful because it's a lot less intimidating than face to face. But then some people just want to come along because they're sick of talking about their issue or their breakup, and their family's always on them. How are you going? How are you going? They just want to come along and just be anonymous. So I think like there's a lot in that.
Yeah, I think often what I talk about with the running group is running, and it does take your mind off a lot of things. But if we've spoken a lot about what you are doing for others, Katie, but what about you? For you this year, that is, any events planned for 2025?
Yes, well, first up, I will be doing the SEQ Trail Running Series round six race at Hins Dam. Just thought it'd be good to like go out and have a crack. And I do love their events. I just got so busy last year, I didn't get to do many of them. So that's a 17K. It's a bit of fun. And then got a few other commitments coming up and going to Arizona late April, early May to crew Toby. So after that will be when I sort of get stuck in. So I've got Dead Cow Gully back out ultra in June, and my goal is to do my distance PB. So I want to go over 24 hours and click over the 160K mark. And then 2 weeks later, I'm doing Gold Coast Double, which is a little bit crazy, but I think it'll just to be part of it. I'm not going to be going for any PBs because my legs will might be cooked unless I don't go long at Dead Cow Gully. And then we've got Sydney Marathon, which is the major. So I'm pretty excited about that and try and beat my time from last year. And then, yeah, I did have some other plans to maybe go to New Zealand and do an ultra, but just got to see how the finances are going and maybe, yeah, look at going to back to Tarawera. So I did attempted my second miler at the starting this time last year in New Zealand. It's a beautiful race, Tarawera miler, and pulled out at 120K. So I just wasn't my day. I was feeling awful. And yeah, got 120Ks in and pulled the pin. So I've got unfinished business back there. So that'll probably be my goal, and also to take some people over to do their first ultra or get amongst it. Yeah.
Very good. Sounds exciting. Thank you for your time this afternoon. I guess even people within your group, Katie, who might not speak or hear of things that they've heard in this conversation that we've had today, and definitely people out there who see you online but maybe just want to learn a little bit more about you, and I'm adamant that they have in this conversation. So thank you again for your time, and you're doing amazing things out there in the community. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ollie.
Cheers. If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legends in Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening.